is God Almighty. That's my subject. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Now, if you want to follow along in the message, turn to John 1. Now, each book of the Bible seems to have a prominent and a dominant theme. Each individual book seems to have a particular theme. And I'm saying that the theme of the Gospel of John is the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, John opens his Gospel. He opens chapter 1, verse 1, by immediately presenting Jesus Christ, not as the Son of Man, as Luke presents him, and not as King of the Jews, as Matthew seems to present him, and not as the suffering servant, as we find in the book of Mark. But John presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the eternal, co-equal Son of Almighty God. Now that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. That's our subject. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Now, most all of the remarks that I'll be making in this message are taken from this Bible class commentary that I wrote last year, 1987, a year before last, 2 years ago. It has 212 pages. It's called the Bible Class Commentary on John. And most everything I'll be saying this morning is taken from this particular Bible study book. What I've done in this Gospel of John is study the book of John verse by verse, almost word by word, 212 pages. If you'd like to have it, you write to me. It costs $3. That's what it costs us to have the book printed and send it out. If you'd like to have it, send $3. I'll mail it to you. But if you don't have the money, write. I'll send it to you anyway. I'd like you to have this Gospel of John, Bible Class Commentary. Now, in the very first verse of John 1, John says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, in the beginning of time, we're talking about in the beginning of creation. Or as Moses wrote, "In the beginning, God." Or "in beginning, God." Jesus Christ is not from the beginning. Jesus Christ is in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus Christ is not in time. Time is in Him. You see what I'm saying? Time is in. He's not in time. Time is in Him. In the beginning. Go back as far as you can imagine. Not as far as you can date, but as far as you can imagine. Back in the eons of eternity, and He is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In fact, He said in John 17:5, in that great high priestly prayer to the Father, He said, "Glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Now that's the way He begins this book. In beginning was the Word. Well, why is Jesus Christ called the Word of God? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever asked it? Has anyone ever told you? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. John keeps calling Him the Word of God. Why is He called the Word of God? Well, let me tell you. A word, what is a word? A word is an expression of a thought. A word is a revelation of a thought. In other words, you'd never know who I am if the announcer didn't say, "Now you'll hear a sermon by Henry Mahan." How'd he say it? He said it in words. You'll never know what I'm thinking. What I'm doing is giving you words. This is what I'm thinking, what I'm saying. You know what I'm thinking because I'm telling you what I'm thinking in words. And Jesus Christ is the Word of God, or God revealing Himself. God revealing His thoughts. God revealing His purpose and plans in Jesus Christ. He's called the Word of God. No man hath seen God at any time. The Son hath revealed Him. declared him. You see that? He hath declared the Father. And Jesus Christ is God's final spokesman. Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2 said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. He's the Word of God. God has spoken. God has spoken. And Jesus Christ is God's whole alphabet. In Revelation, I believe it's chapter 1, verse 8, he says, I am Alpha. That's the first word in the Greek alphabet. I am Omega. That's the last word. Alpha, Omega, beginning, end. God's whole alphabet is in Jesus Christ. See that? He's the Word of God. In beginning, before time, before creation, before the world, was the Word. The Word is the expression of God, the revelation of God, the declaration of God. You can't know God except through His Word. Christ is the Word of God. Well, why does John say he was with God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Well, now listen. Jesus Christ is one of the Holy Trinity. I know the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the idea is, the Lord our God is one God. Yet he's three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I can't explain that. I just know it's so. For he said this, when God would create the world, God said, let us make man. He didn't say, let me make man. He said, let us. And then in 1 John 5:7, the scripture says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And when our Lord sent his disciples out to preach, he told them to make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see, creation is ascribed to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In Malachi 2:10, have we not one Father who created us? In Colossians 1, the Lord Jesus Christ, all things were made by him in heaven, earth, visible, invisible. Job 33, verse 4, one Spirit gave me breath and created me. So there's no denying it'd be foolish to do so. You say, but I can't understand a Trinity. We have three gods? No, one God. God revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, but the three in one. And he was with God. That's what it means. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Now watch. And the Word was God, or is God. He is God. The Word is God. Only God can reveal God. A man can't reveal God. God can only one who can reveal God. The Word is God, and God is the Word. The name God is common to all three persons of the Trinity. There's God the Father. We read about God the Son. He said, I and my Father are one. And there's God the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, when one of the disciples said, well, show us the Father, he said, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. In Isaiah 7:14, it talks about a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. Call his name Emmanuel. What is Emmanuel? God with us. Isaiah 9:6 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And then in 2 Timothy 3:16, listen to Paul. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in human flesh. So Jesus Christ is God Almighty. In beginning was the Word. And I told you why he's called the Word. And the Word is with God. And the Word is God. And all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. This same Word, who is God and who is with God, created all things. Now, my friends, only God can create. only God can create. You and I can make things by bringing things together that are already created, but only God can speak something out of nothing. Only God can create. And yet the whole creation is ascribed to Jesus Christ. That's right, Paul. I quoted a while ago Colossians 1, by him were all things created in heaven, in earth, all things visible and invisible, whether they be principalities or powers or rulers. And all things were created for him. And by him all things consist. You know what that means? All things are held together by Jesus Christ. He's the creator. Jesus Christ is the creator. Jesus Christ is not just some messenger. He is God. And the fact that he took on himself the form of a servant, the fact that he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, the fact that he came into this world, the fact that he suffered on the cross, was buried, and rose again in the flesh as a man, the God-man, does not lessen the fact that he is God. God condescended to dwell among us. Only God can do what he came to do. You see, man can suffer, but man can't satisfy. Man can sin, but man can't obey the law. Man can die, but man can't give himself life. And Christ is all of these things. He's divine and he's human. He's God, he's man. He obeyed, he bore our sins. He suffered, he satisfied. He died, he arose. All right, look at verse 4. Now watch this carefully. In him was life, L-I-F-E. In Jesus Christ is life. Now the word life here is used in the widest sense of the word. I know that Christ is the resurrection and the life. He is spiritual life. But here, all life is in him. All life is for him, from him, and because of him. In him is life. Life. He is the life giver. In him we live and move and have our being. He's the fountain of life, in whose hand is the soul and breath of every living creature. That's what Job said in Job 12. He is the sustainer and taker of life. Deuteronomy 32:39 says, I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. In him is life. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. He is the life. He is the fountain of life, the source of life, the giver of life. Life is from him, in whose hand is the soul and breath of every living creature. That's what he said in Job 12. Now, last week, some time ago, I watched a heart transplant on television. They opened this man's chest and they got another heart from a victim, a person who had died, and willed her heart to the hospital. And they had her heart stored in an ice chest, totally lifeless, totally still, just the heart. And they disconnected this man's heart and took it out and put this heart in his chest, in his body, out of an ice chest, connected it, and started beating. That heart started beating. And one of the doctors said, what makes it beat? What makes it beat? He said, I don't know. I know what makes it beat. That man lying there had life. The woman who died had no life. Her heart didn't beat, but it took her heart and put it in here, and it beat. And there were no wires attached to it. There was no motor attached to it. There was no gasoline pumped in it. There was no spark plugs. Nothing. Just put it in a man's chest, connected it, and started beating. Life. Life. What makes a seed grow? When you put it in the ground, what makes it grow? Life. And I tell you, life is from God. We can make all kind of things, but we can't make life. That heart there, the doctor couldn't make it beat. Stand and hold it till doomsday and it won't beat. Connect it up to your generators and it won't beat. But put it in that man's chest. Connect it up. He's got life. And it'll beat. And notice this verse says, and that life, in him is life, and that life is the light of men. That light, life, is the light of revelation. Let me tell you, my friends, the very fact of life, I'm talking about natural life, life in the widest sense of the word, the truth of life, the mystery of life, the source of life cannot be denied. God gives life. Life is it not? Well, how do you know that God is life? Why do you believe in God, preacher man? Life. There's no way of accounting for life but God. No way in this world. I don't care how much you argue about evolution, you still go back to the one cell animal, amoeba or whatever. You go back as far as you want to, or some chunk falling off the moon or the sun, you still got to start with life. Life. And life is from God. In him is life. Now that's just so. There's no question about it. And this life is the light of men. It's the way we know there's a God. It's a revelation. This light of life shines in our darkness. And here's the sad thing. We don't comprehend it. We don't believe it. This is the light. Look at verse 9 there. This is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But do we believe God? When we see life, when a child is born, do the parents believe God? When a doctor takes a child out of the womb of a mother, out of the darkness of the womb, and it comes and breathes and lives, does the doctor believe? No. No, we turn to evolution, we turn to philosophy, we turn to chance, we turn to everything but God. God is life. But this light of life, now wait a minute, hold the phone. This light of life is not the only revelation that God has given of himself. He came into the world in person. In person. I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to take your Bible there if you have it. John 1, verse 1. I want you to take verse 1 and verse 14 and put them together. And put them together. Now watch this. Take verse 1. And verse 14, you see it there? Verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus Christ, Almighty God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh. And the Word was made flesh. Almighty God became a man, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. That's right, he became flesh. All right, verse 1 again. And the Word was with God. One of the divine Trinity was with God. And verse 14, and he dwelt among us. He actually tabernacled among men. He actually, who was with God, was with us here on this earth. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. Now verse 1 again. And the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God in every attribute. He is God who created all things. And now watch verse 14. And we beheld his glory. We saw him, we heard him, we touched him. We actually saw the Son of God in human flesh. So here's what I'm saying. Now listen to me. Faith has two parts. Two parts. This is important. In Hebrews 11:6, he talks about faith, and it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe. Must believe. What? Two things. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that God is, that God is. And that's what I talked about the first 10 minutes of this message. God is. God is. In the beginning, God. And in Him was life. And that life was the light of men. And that light shineth in our darkness, and we comprehended it not. But secondly, must believe that God is, and that God is the rewarder, the blesser of them that believe on Him and seek Him. And this is the second thing. We're not shut up only to believe God by creation, or believe God by the light of life, or believe God by providence. We've seen Him. He walked among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John bore witness. Read those next 5 or 6 verses. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came as a witness to bear witness of that light. He was not that light, but He came to bear witness of that light. Behold the Lamb of God. But not only John, the Father bore witness of Him. Read John chapter 5. The Father said, "This is My Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the works that He did bore witness of Him. The blind saw, and the deaf heard, and the lame walked, and the dead lived. Only God can do these things. And the Scriptures bear witness of it. You search the Scriptures, in them you think you have life. There they which testify of Christ. There's the twofold revelation. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that He is the blessor, the rewarder, the fountain of life to all who believe Him. Well, what's the results of this revelation? The light of life is not comprehended. What about the coming of the Son of God into this world? Read verse 10. Read verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Isaiah wrote about it. He said, "No beauty about Him that we should desire Him. When we saw Him, we hid our faces from Him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief." Look at verse 11. He came unto His own tabernacle, His own nation, His own temple, His own days and sacrifices, His own types and patterns and pictures, and His own received Him not. So the light of life, we comprehend it not. The Son of God came in the flesh, and we received Him not. Well, is the story ended? Will the purpose of God be defeated? Is there no hope for our race? Is there no hope? Well, Proverbs 19 says there are many devices in the heart of men, nevertheless the counsel of God shall stand. Isaiah 46:10, the Lord said, "My counsel shall stand. I will do all My pleasure. I purposed it. I'll also do it." Our Lord said, "All that My Father giveth Me will come to Me. Him that cometh to Me I'll in no wise cast out. My sheep will hear My voice, and they'll follow Me, and I'll give them eternal life, and they'll never perish." Oh, yeah, heaven will be populated. There'll be a people like Christ. God's promised it. The bridegroom will have a bride. The marriage table shall be filled. The universe shall echo with His praise. There will be a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven. Oh, yes. Yeah, but preacher, you just read those 11 verses, and the light in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and shined in our darkness, and we comprehended it not, and He came into His own received Him not. He was in the world, and the world knew Him not. But, look at verse 12. But, as many as received Him, to them gave He the right, the privilege, to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. There are those, Jew and Gentile, male and female, bond and free, old and young, there are those who hear the gospel and who believe it and who receive Christ. Oh, yeah, They believe on His name. They receive Him. They believe Him. They rest in Him. They come to Him. Oh, yes, they do. The Father gave the Son a people from all eternity. And He said, they will hear My voice. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear My voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Well, Brother Mann, what makes these people different from those who received Him not, and the world who knew Him not, and the darkness that comprehended Him not? Look at verse 13. There's no period after verse 12. Verse 12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the right, the privilege, to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born. This is the second birth. This is the new birth. They were born not of blood. What does that mean? That is, not of heredity, not of their ancestries, not by natural genealogy. This is not a fleshly thing. It's a spiritual birth. Not of the will of the flesh, not of their own will. It's not of Him that willeth, it's of God that showeth mercy. They weren't born of the will of man, that is, somebody else's will. They weren't born of heredity. They weren't born of their own wills, and they weren't born of somebody else's will. They were born of God. Those are the people who receive Him, those who are born of God. Those who are blessed and born of God. They receive Him, they believe Him, and God gives them eternal life. And they'll never perish.